We're up to the Marcus. We just finished the Buda Yenoisen Bohem Simonim. Tzach Adash Be'achav. Okay, I'm not going to go into the Marcus again. I think that's what we completed last week, huh? We have the chiluk between Domtzvardei and Kinim, which was to sum it up, the charismatic effect of the Avodah Zorah that keeps people from being impressed by anything else, because they visualize themselves as like they call it in certain parts of the world, the defenders of the faith. And if the faith is being attacked, they rise defended with more enthusiasm than they did till now. So therefore it was important to take the three objects of veneration. One is the Avodah Zorah itself, which is the Yor, which they worshipped because that was the source of their life. The other was the Chayos in the Yor, the living creatures that came out of the Yor, like it says in the Novi, right? Hatanim HaGodol HaRoivetz V'Soich Yori, which is what Paroi and the Mitzrayim worship, because that symbolized the life that came out of the Yor. The Yor was a source for their life to water the fields and provide them with food. But besides, the Yor provided, had its own life, like the crocodiles, Ado Yoim, and the frogs and the other creatures of the Yor. And both of these were subject to, you know, a horrible smell and to ridiculed by and to bittle by the Khartoumim themselves. I explained that whole thing. The Kitzit and the Kingdom is the land, because the land is a source of patriotism. Makes people stand up for the land and fight, defend the land with their lives. But once the land is also turned into an object of horrible disgust, Kol Afar Ha'oretz HaYakinim B'chol Eretz Yisroel. Okay. And if we want, we could separate that as, you know, the Tzach. And that makes the people ready to absorb the teachings of the Makkos. I told you many times the Makkos are meant as lessons, as teaching. Right? L'man Teidun. And the Kseidun. Yodu Mitzrayim Ki Ani Hashem. That's what they expect. Holakim, that it's the HaKadosh Baruch Hu demonstrated that he exists and that he's dominant and that he rules over Mitzrayim. And it's finished there. That's when they were mevatel, when he said Lo Yadati is Hashem. Right? So Lo Yadati is no longer Shaykh, because the Yodu Mitzrayim Ki Ani Hashem is the answer to the Lo Yadati is Hashem. So that's what came here, and I told you already before many times that the word Etzpa is a finger for pointing, for demonstrating, and for teaching, which is the object of all the Makkos. We went to that Parishas. Noroif, right, is the attack. The Dever is also the attack. The Shchin is the attack. These three are also not a destructive attack, but they're an attack. And the animals come. And the Dever comes. Hine Yad Hashem Hoyo. Right? It's the Yad Hashem that's attacking. And the Shchin is an attack on the people. The bodies of the people for the first time. When Eoif suffered the first attack, his children died, his animals died, his fortune was taken away, his buildings were destroyed. So he said, "Or ba'ad or v'chaylo sherlo ishi ten ba'ad nafshoi." And the second time that he was attacked, it was attacking the body of Eoif, and he was covered with shrin from head to foot. Shchin is the symbol of the person being attacked. So these three, the Orev and the Dever and the Shchin, the Adash, is an attack on the person, on the Mitzvah. Okay? And like I pointed out to you the other time, it's a very Oh. Good. It's a very profound yisoid, Rabbi said. When we said that that the Dever is the market that's coil of all the Eser markets. That's why it has the five bases in a row, the Shtayim, 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 Elu Eser markets. That's why the Dever is Hine Yad Hashem. Out of all the markets, it's the only one that's called Yad because it contains the potential for the punishment. And the biggest moifes in the Dever was the Ba'avur Zoyis Hem Mad Ticho. Right? Hine ki ato shalachti esiodi vo'acho eischa v'yasamcha badover. But the Ba'avur Zoyis Hem Mad Ticho Ba'avur ha'roischa eskoichi. So the saving of the mitzvah, the stopping of the market, the Dever, which was whatever it was, whether it was microorganisms or something, which Dever usually is, but it was the kind that kills people as well as animals. It was a mu'ud l'behema and mu'ud l'yodo. It's not something that could possibly differentiate between the odom and the behema. And the ki ato sholachti is, right? Is only a nest betoich nest. So the attack on the mitzvah is the oroiv dever and shchin. Okay, so that's the second hadash. And third is borod and arba, which got rid of all the food in Mitzrayim. And don't forget the livelihood of Mitzrayim was the source why they worshipped the oil, because the oil provided them with food and a multitude of food, hachitav, hakusemis, and right, sa'oiro and pishta, which is clothing. The Mitzrayim is the land of flax. That's what it's called in Tanakh. The Oiv de Pishtim. They worship the flax because the fields of flax provide them with the material for clothing. Ad Hayoim, one of the main products of Mitzrayim is cotton. Egyptian cotton is known the world over. The cotton is just an alternative to flax. Okay? In other words, their food and their clothing was taken away, and the Choshech is. And Makas B'chores, by the way, is the original market, because when the market started out, Pari was told by Moshe Rabbeinu, "Hine Anochi Choyrig has been Chavichoyrecha, right? B'ni B'chore Yisroel, right? Ki Moen Ato, right? And Hine Anochi Choyrig has been Chavichoyrecha." So that's the ultimate. Choshech, Rabbi Yisai, reminds you of something else. Choshech being the next to the last market. It didn't destroy anything. And it took a lot, except Yidden were more killed by the market's Choshech. But I always look at Choshech as being the prelude to the end. The words of Yirmiyahu Hanavi, they ring with a finality. They say, Oilonu kipono yoim. Not to tzilulei orev, right? Oilonu kipona yoim. The day is passing and coming to its conclusion. The shadows of the evening are lengthening. You know, the shadow is only short. That means the sun is above in the sky. And when the shadow lengthens, that means the sun is closing its path to the horizon. And the shadows are long, and ultimately the evening. The dark sets in. The dark is this dismal destruction. That's when the day is drawing to a close. Oilonu kifona yoim ki notu tzilulei orev. And perhaps the choshech is the the closing in of the darkness on Mitzrayim. You know, until then, there's expectation, there's hope, there's light. So you make plans for the future. But then all of a sudden, you realize that the end is approaching you with some inexorable finality. It's coming closer and closer and closer. That's the choshech. That's perhaps the grouping of the market. That's why there's the Tzach and Adash and Ba'achav. The tremendous distinction. I feel that, you know, it's much more than all the Rimozim and the ideas that are expressed. The grouping of the market has that. The Tzach, Adash, and Ba'achav, just like we spoke about before. Now let's go to the next thing.
Where did the Nekudas in that seven come from? It doesn't correspond to
the Nekudas. Those Nekudas are just the way we speak. Whenever we see three letters in a row, so we throw patach on the third one, you know. Not that it always has a patach, but when we discover the true Nekudas, there were no Nekudas. There were no Nekudas, Rabbi, on the mate of Moshe Rabbeinu. And it says that the Tzach Adash B'Yachav were written onto the mate. There were no Nekudas. It's even questionable whether there were Nekudas at all at the time of Tetil Bai Sheni, written Nekudas. The Nekudas were Bal Peh, not written. That was part of the Torah Shebal Peh, you know. The words of handwriting on the wall, so to speak. Part of the fact nobody could read them because they were no Nekudas. Just as an aside, everybody said there's nothing to do with the explaining the Agoda. You know, I think I mentioned this already in the past. I'll try not to take more than a minute. There were a couple of people that went out and made a global war against one of the major Jewish publishers. Why? Because in their early publications, so they made squares, little tiny squares for the Segel and for the Tzeire and for the Shvor and for the Kubutz, you know, the three dots of the U, the short one. And they looked like regular Segels, regular Tzeires from the distance, but if you look very, very closely, especially in the introductory page, they had them larger, so you saw squares there instead of circles. And these people were very offended, and they said that's a break with tradition, and it's a horrible, terrible thing. And they issued a tremendous attacking kolkoyrim, and they had 75 signatures on it. And the thing quoted 12 quotes from Shas, saying that the Nekudas, the Tzura of the Nekudas has to be kept. The Nekudas are very important, and if you change the Tzura of the Nekudas, it's playing with fire, it's attacking the Mesoira, so on and so forth. And there were 12 Gemoras to show them. And in addition to the 12 Gemoras, there were quotes from all kinds of sport. And sources, one of them was Tikkuni Zohar, but there were over 20 quotes. And the other thing they had besides the dots was the comments. The comments that we have is a horizontal line like a patach, and coming out from the middle of it is a vertical, short line, and beneath that a round dot, which completes the leg of the comment. Right? That's you have it. And that publisher put in a straight line going down from the center, which looked exactly the same unless you really peek very closely. But it didn't have that traditional short line followed by circle dot right below the middle of the comet. And they were told that this, all 70 people said that the forum have to be got rid of, and this is all horrible words denouncing the affront to Kedushas HaTorah. Okay. I was told that Rabbi Yashiv threw them out of the house when they came to him for a signature. Weren't aware that there's not one single Gemara in the entire Shas that says anything about the Tzura of the Nekudas. There isn't a Maimon Chazal that says anything like that. Not one of the Sforim quoted, except for one, the Tikkuni Zohar that they quoted. It's the only source in any of ancient writing that even admits that there are Tzuras to the Nekudas. Doesn't say that three dots are a segol, and it just doesn't say. Moreover, there was one quote from an Achrin, from the Chassam Sofer, who says that there are Tzura to the Nekudas, and that was an amazing quote. He says that the Nekudas have gematrias just like the letters, and the gematria for Tzura is 20, and the gematria for a Chirik is 10, and the gematria for a Segel is 30. And the reason is because each of the dots are like little yuds, and a yud, Rabbi said, is a square, not a circle. Okay? So it was an amazing quote. That was the only other quote that inscribed any tzur, but there's no gemaras. In fact, Ad Kedei Kach that Rabbi Eliyahu Bocher, who edited the first printing of Shas and wrote a lengthy haftarah to the printing, the first printing of the Chamisha Chumshei Torah. And among the things he said was that perhaps it was the Nakdonim Tveryonim, Ben Osher and Ben Aftoli, who made up tzuras for the Nekudas, because we have no record before that of any tzura to Nekudas. Nothing that's known to exist before Ben Osher and Ben Aftoli. So maybe it was just invented then, and it was only about the pronunciation of the Nekudas. I couldn't get over it. The fact that, I mean, the person shouldn't recognize instantly that there's no such Gemara in Shas. That's not difficult. The people do learn here and there, and to not to know that there's not such a thing in the whole world. You asked me about the Nekudas. No, there were no Nekudas on the letters on the Mate of Meshepe. Now, Rabbi Yossi Haguli Oimer, Minayin Ata Oimer Shaloku Hamitzrim B'Mitzrayim Eser Makos. Valayom Loku Hamisha Makos B'Mitzrayim Ahu Oimer Vayomer Vachartum El Paroi Etzbe Lekimhi. Valayom Ahu Oimer Vayar Yisrael Sayoz HaGdoilo Shiroz Hashem Mitzrayim Vayiru'u Ha'omes Hashem Vayiminu B'Hashem Av Moshe Avde. Kama Loku B'Etzba Eser Makos Emor Meyato Mitzrayim Loku Eser Makos Valayom Loku Chamisha Makos. Okay, I already spoke with you about this, and we mentioned it just now, that the hand has five fingers, and therefore there were five times as many Makos with the hand as there was with one. But I already told you before that the Yad is the Koyach, the Oynash, the destructive hand, whereas the finger is the instructive finger, which teaches. The Mount Teidun and the Makos were there for instructions, and the Yad was there for punishment. Now, nevertheless, Rabbi said, there were 50 Makos on the Yam, and there are many beautiful mamorim written by Mechaber, who put together various Midrashim here and there and tried to figure out which are the 50 Makos in the Yam. And I'm going to stick to my, definition that I said a moment ago about the etzba and the yad. And I think that's the chilek between 10 makos and 50 makos. Chazal tell us that each makah there was a hasroah for 3 weeks and there was 1 week for the makah, right? Those are the main center makahs, because the last couple of makahs came one on the heels of the other, because the Bora, the Arba were all in Adar, right? So there were no, why? Because it says ki has a pishta, right? Ov hasoira ovi va pishta givoy. Is the beginning of Nisan. Okay, so we know that Porod and Arbe were right at the end. So they weren't the earlier months. And according to, Chazal and Mishpat HaMitzrayim, HaMitzrim B'Mitzrayim, that's the Mishnah Nedis, were Yud Beis Chodesh. But the main point that I want to stress is that the Makos, 10 Makos, had space in between. Why? Because just like we had in Rashi in last week's Seder, ma hafsokos mishamshes litein revach lehis boinen ben parsha leparsha. So the makis had hafsokos, which were mishamshes lehis boinen, because the purpose of the makis was for his boineness, and therefore there had to be a makis, and then there had to be warnings, and then followed by exhortations and thinking. Right? There was a hisboinenus reviewing the Makis and the lessons that it taught. Leman Teidun, right? Leman Saper Shmi V'chol Ha'oretz. It doesn't happen in a moment. It takes time for the absorption of the lesson and thinking about it and asking and answering and reviewing until it finally penetrates the thick skull of a person who's abstinent. And he could walk away with a koil yoytze from what he just experienced. People don't have an experience and instantly change and jump and say, this is it. I know now that, ach sheker nochlo avoseinu hevel ve'en v'moya. That takes time. That's why there's a hefsik. There's boinin ben parsha l'parsha. Mashain Khan, the 50 makas in Mitzrayim were without any hefsek at all. But just boom, one after the other, in the hours of the Mitzrayim chasing the Yidden through the Yam, the Mitzrayim suffered 50 different makas. And there was no hafsoka. It was just one after the other. Why? Because the makas were not meant to teach, the makas were meant to punish. And there was no need for hafsoka with burning ben pasha or pasha. Okay? To think into. At that time, there was nothing for the Mitzvah to say. And by the morning, they were all gone. What did they learn? People who are going to die immediately afterwards are not going to learn anything. It was the destruction and the punishment and the suffering that was the object of the Makas and the Yam. And therefore, there was no time in between, and there was no one, and followed, and then another one. That's right. That's Yodu Mitzrayim, is the final result of all the.
I'm saying, but in the beginning of the Shabbat,
right.
Not Mitzrayim. Pharaoh's wonder has it, but it's coming after them.
Right.
And then there's still another Yodu Mitzrayim.
Because there's Mitzrayim, perhaps in Mitzrayim, Ki Hashem Nilcham Bohem B'Mitzrayim, and that's in Mitzrayim itself. So V'yodu Mitzrayim Ki Ani Hashem B'Yikovdi B'Faroi is V'yodu Mitzrayim, the land of Mitzrayim. The land of Mitzrayim will find out what happened to their army, the army of the grand army. Thank you. That went with all the Rikhpoy for Russia. Okay. So let's take the next one. Rebbe Lezer Oymi Minayin Shekol Maku Maku Shehevi HaKadosh Baruch Hu Al HaMitzrim B'Mitzrayim Hoysa Shal Arba Makas Shenemar It says in the Pasuk in the capital of Dillim, which describes Yetzias Mitzrayim, Yishalach Bom Charoin Apoi, right? Evro Vozam Vitzorah Mishlachas Malach Eroi. So Rebbe Lezer learned that Charoin Apoi is the Klau, and the others are Pratim of Charoin Apoi, right? The Klau of Prat, and the Klau of Masha of Prat. The Klau is Charoin Apoi, and it's divided into different aspects. One is Evro, one is Zam, one is Tzorah, one is Mishlachas Malach Eroi. Emma Mayato Mitzrayim Loku Arboa Makas Valayom Loku Masaya Makas. And you could easily see from the Loshon over here that they're not separate Makas, they're separate aspects. Shekol Mako Mako Shehevia Kodesh Baruchu Ala Mitzrayim and Mitzrayim Hoiso Shel Arba Makas. There were divisions of the Mak. Evro Raboisa is anger. Anger means punishment, because you know there's a different kind of ever. I told you there's chema and there's charoinaf. I spoke about that a couple of weeks back in the Gemara in Bava Basra, right? It says Matan b'seiser yichpe off, right? V'shoichad b'cheik chema azah. So it's a machloikus in the Gemara, whether matan b'seiser is koifa af, so in the other, and it's also koifa chema azah. Matan b'seiser yichpe off, and the word yichpe is understood to apply to the second half of the pasuk. V'shoichad b'cheik yichpe chema azah. The other manoma says no. Matan b'seiser yichpe off. But the shoychad b'cheik, there'll still be chema aza. Af koife, chema eina koife. Okay? That's the machloik is there in Bava Basra. You remember that? When did I say that? On a Friday or something? Huh? Maybe I didn't. What?
You see something.
You see something, yeah. So I said, what's the difference between chema and af? That chema is the inner anger. But it doesn't find expression in Lamaise, but it's Midas Hadin in its fullest. But it isn't yet released to punish and destroy. That's why Matan B'Seiser is Yichpe Off, it stops the Af, which is Charoin Apoi, like Rashi says, steam coming out of the nostrils, Derech Moshel, what we find by people. That's carrying out the implementation of the chema. Okay? So Matan B'Seiser is Yichpe Off, it'll stop the implementation of the chema, but it's a machloikis whether it will be mevatel the Midas Adin as well. Okay? Shalach Bom Charoin Apoi is the Af. Good? And I showed you from the Megillah, it says Vayimolei Homon Chema, but Vayas Apak Homon, he held it in. Chema could be held in, right? When Chema is carried to a Maisa, it's implemented, then it's called Af. Vayichar Apoi, right? And he did Kach V'Kach. So Shalach Bom Charoin Apoi, they receive the implementation of the anger. One is the Evra. The Evra is the toiloda of the anger. Right? It's interesting, the Gemara in Brochus makes a play on words. It says, in Mimolei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Evra ki isha ubra. Right? It's a woman who's pregnant. That's Evro. Evro is an anger which is similar to pregnancy. It's there, but it's waiting to come out and be implemented. That's Evro. Zam is rejection, Rabbi said. The Pasuk says, what is Gehenna? Zu'um Hashem, Yipuel Shom. So Zu'um Hashem means the person who's rejected. Okay, it's not the anger itself, but it's the frown, right? The rejection that which comes after the buildup of the anger. And the tzora is from the word tzar, meaning narrow, right? The tzora is when things get tight and it's about to happen. And the mishlachas malchei royim is when the forces of nature are unleashed, right? The wind, the fire, which we say, ruach, oisem malocha of ruchas, right? I spoke about that a couple of weeks back. Oisem malocha of ruchas. You take a look at that huge hurricane. That's a malach Hashem v'charva shlufa biyodoi, ready in the moment to wipe out 1,000 pounds, and which could have happened. That's charva in the tuya, joy in the tuya. It's stretched, waiting for the moment. That's mishlachas malachei royim. That's right. Ruach seora oisei dvoroi, oisei malocha ruchas. Those are mishlachas malachei royim. Those are the actual carrying out. In one case, the dam or the frog or the kinnin, they were all malachei royim. Okay, so that's why the mitzvim were margish, the presence of Hashem Yisborach, the various degrees of Charoi Napo. Good?
What's Tzara again?
What?
Tzara is narrow?
Tzara, yeah. Tzara is trouble. Right? Trouble doesn't yet mean there was, when a person they say, is I'm in a Tzara, that means I am like being squeezed to the point where Tzor is the noun coming from the word tzar. Right? What happened to Bilam when his donkey dragged him? B'mokon tzor, asher en derech lintos yomen of smoil. There's no way to bend to the right or to the left. Right? B'mokon tzor, asher en derech lintos yomen of smoil. And so tzor is the noun coming from tzar. You're in a bind, like they say in English, right? It's about to happen. There's no place to go, no place to run, no way out. So when the Mishlachas Malchei Royim is going to come, you're not going to escape from it, right? That's the Torah. And those are the four levels of the Shalach Bom Charoi Napo. The Kiva, Oymer, Minayin, Shekel, Makav, Maki, Shehevi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ala Mitzrim, Yerutzayim, Hoyster, Shol, Chomesh, Makav. Shenami, Yishalav, Om, Chirinapa, Yerutzayim, Shal, Chirinapa, Chirinapa, Yachas, Ever, Oshtayim, Tam, Sholosh, Yitzor, Arvim, Shal, Chirin, Chomesh, because the Kiva says that Chirinapa is not a klal, right? But it's a prat. It's just one of a list of pratim. And the Blazer says it's a klal, right? Perhaps they go to Shitoso. Okay, the Blazer darshan shas like Reb Shmuel. Kloli uprati. And the Rekiva darshan buyi umiuti. So, therefore, they're all muted. In other words, all details. But be that as it may, you could be mefalpel about that. But the point is that the Rekiva says that Charoi Napo is not just the klal for the other four, but Charoi Napo is carrying out of the anger which began with the Seder of Evro, Zaram, Tzoram, Shlach, Mofu. Okay, that's it. Kama Malas Toivas Lamokav Aleik. This is summing up. Hilu Hoitzionami Mitzrayim V'Liyosabohim Shvotim Dayenu. I'll explain the first line and everything else will follow this pattern. Rabbeisai, there is no Dayenu Chas v'sholem, saying that it would be enough if we didn't have Osabohim Shvotim. Okay, I hear that. And what about Loinosom onus a Torah dayenu? Loinosom onus a Shabbos? Loikevonu of Nehasinai dayenu? Could we say that? That it would be enough if we didn't have our Sinai or the Torah? Or Loikevonu of Nehasinai? Loikevonu of Nehasinai? Of course not. Because that's not what the word dayenu means. Dayenu doesn't mean it would be enough for us. We don't need any more than that. Dayenu means that the lefichach, which we're going to end with, anachzon chayom lohaydus lahalil, right? It would be dayenu from this one thing alone, lohaydus lahalil. Huh? I once heard an after dinner speaker who said about the meeting of Reform rabbis, and they decided to do away with a certain parts of the Haggadah because they were outmoded, they weren't progressive enough. So the first thing they voted to get rid of Dayenu. And one of them said it wouldn't be right because someday in the future, when we want to know how the ancient Orthodox people worshipped, so we should have at least some illustration of how they said it. So they decided to leave just one line. Right? Ilu nosan lonu es mamoinam v'lo nosan lonu es ha-toyre Dayenu. Anyhow, it's a good line for a speaker. But the word Dayenu means it would be enough for us to be Mahalel and Meshabeach. Understand? And that's what the Kol V'Chomer, Halach Es Kama V'Kama, later comes. Now that we have all these things put together, surely it's enough cause to be Mahalel and Meshabeach. And to have that chorus, I thought, if that's what it is. So, oh, we'll come to that. We're not up to that. Rabbi Yomil, as soon as we come to it. Ilu hoitzionim Yisrael, lo yosu bohem shvotim. So, hoitzionim Yisrael, without all these other things, we would still have to be mahalel and shabeach. No. That's how we started off the Haggadah with. Ilu loy hoitzi HaKadosh Baruch Hu is... So Ilu Haitzionu, that alone would be enough for us to make a celebration and sit by the Pesach Seder and sing and dance and be Meshabeach to Ribono Shel Olam for the tovus that he did to us. Ilu Osa Bohem Shvotim, Lo Yosa Belaheim Dayenu. Why? Because when a person is mistreated in such a horrible, gruesome, cruel way, just to see that that person should walk away unscathed and we should be relieved of their pain, that shows that there's nothing wrong, there's nothing right if there's nothing wrong, Rabbi said. There has to be an indication of the non-acceptance L'chol ha-pochis of the horrible behavior of the mitzvah. And that's why Ta'kel nekomois Hashem Yimosei shoyfei te'oret Hoshev gemul al goyim. There has to be a moment when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will deliver that message to the world that they should know V'yodu Mitzrayim ki ani Hashem, and V'yodu the whole world. Ru'u ato, it says after all the Einshim, ki ani, ani hu. Right? That's what has to happen at the end. Not that there should be the same confusion that we had in the beginning. Without punishment for the mitzvah, there would be confusion. Baruch Hashem, we got away. Right? But it's not a pach yoikshim. It's people who mistreated, who tortured, who did everything to us. So those people have to be shown the fallacy of what they did by calling them to account for what they did. There has to be a cheshbon. Okay? Din v'cheshbon. That's the tachlis of Lo Yosa Bohem Shvotim. Lo Yosa Belaheya is to remove the delusion that the world is toya because of once the Elohei Mitzrayim was allowed to continue to exist without being destroyed, so we see in front of our eyes an alternative. And Gamliel was asked, how come the Rebbeinu Shlomo doesn't remove the Avodah Zarah? So in the Mishnah, right, in Masechta Avodah Zarah, so Rebbeinu Gamliel said, because they worship the sun and the moon, what should he do? Destroy the world because of the Shaitan who worship the sun and the moon? So we should be in the dark with no sun and the moon? So they said, no, let him destroy the sun and the Avodah Zarah, that he could be destroyed. Like the Baal and the Asherah, and then leave the sun and the moon. So Gamliel said, in that case, they'll say that the real Avodah Zarah remained, because those are the true ones. The ones that were destroyed were the false ones. That's the mission. So Gamliel, they answered him, but in Mitzrayim, they had to be shown the falseness of the things that they believed in. That's why there's also Baruch Shota. Right? And Ilu Horeg Yes Bechareyem. What's Horeg Yes Bechareyem? Horeg Yes Bechareyem, because it's not just Shvotim. You go through the Shvotim and then you get away with it. Right? All the terrorists in the jails in Israel, they're all waiting for the day that they could go back to their gruesome work when they get out. And they have a tremendous cheering squad, which is all the nations in the world, who are saying, no, it's time to take all those chayas hayar, chayas teref, and unleash them upon the world. Not release them. They're not being released. They're being unleashed. Take a wild man killing tiger and, give him a freedom. So there had to be Horeg Yes Bechareyem to give the representative punishment, partial, because there were enough Mitzrim to live and perpetuate the nation of Mitzrim for Leil Avod. But in Chol HaPochus there had to be a sizable oynish in exchange for what they did. And Ilunot and Mamoinam. Well, my name is Achre Chen Yetzir Birkush Godel Kipshutai. Yeah? Now, the other things, of course, we don't have to be matriach. Like Korolonu es Hayom. Of course, Rabbi said, the Kriyas Yamsuf is something that we still think about every single day of our lives. It was Yoshe Moshe of Neisrael, part of the Tzuki de Zimra. And Lo Yaviyonu B'Soicha B'Charova. Well, it would be kedai to go through the Midrashim, and I do that by my Yontif Digitish Tri Yishol Pesach, to take out the Ovis Derb Nosim and go through all the Nisim Al Hayom, or the Chol HaPochus take the Mishnah of Asora Nisim Nasal Abaseina Al Hayom, and go through the Meforshim, like Rashi and the Rambam and Rabbeinu Yoina, which are on the page in the back of the Gemara, and you'll see the Hevironu B'Soichei Becherovo, right? The paving of the floor on the Yam with blocks of ice, which were solid and dry, and the running of fresh water. Moshika Tzoreinu B'Soichei. These Tzoreinu were not like the rest of the Mitzrayim. These Tzoreim were about to, destroy the Yidden. They ran after them for a final battle. And, of course, Sipei Tzorkeinu Bamidbar and Goram Shona. That's ordinary food. Even if they were just would have been slow in food supplied to them by the Umas HaOlam. Right? That would have been enough of a nest to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for. But the money, that's lechem abirim, lechem shamalachah asharas ochlim. And of course, Shabbos and Har Sinai and the Torah, Eretz Yisrael and the Beis Hamikdash, these things don't need an explanation. That's for shutim agniyot. That for each of these things, we have to express our hakaras hatoyv. Al achas kama v'kama, kolshken v'kolshken, toivah kfulo v'chupelas. Double, quadruple, more and more, add them all up. Lamokim olenu, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu deserves from us. Olenu, it means it's our choiv to be makir toiv to the Rebbeinu Shloim. And then we have the whole list, right? And I like by the Seder when it comes to Dayenu and we sing it with the various Nikunim. So that's a good time to sing, and I don't have to explain anything because the next piece we could explain every part. And I just call out Shehotzionim Mitzrayim, and everybody answers together. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim. And also Boim Shvotim, right? And that's part of the Shachar V'Tariyah by the Seder. Now comes the high point of the Seder. The high point because it's the teretz to the fear kashas, right? I said that over and over. You have to know the tzura of the Haggadah. We're going to now answer the fear kashas. And Rabbi Gamliel, Hayoimer, Kol Shalei Omar Shloshet Dvorim Elu, Pesach, if you didn't end with these three things, then Leyotzei Nechai Vosa, you didn't answer anything. You weren't Mekayim V'Gadat to Levincha. You weren't Mekayim V'Omar to Levincha. Or V'Amartem. You aren't Mekayim that. Why? Because he asked a question and you built up the background in the material for the proper answer and you stopped short of the answer. So it's the punchline that's missing. So the kasha remains hanging in the air and the child is unsatisfied and you aren't magid anything. Because you have to be able to point Bavur Zeh. What is Bavur Zeh? B'shor Sheyesh. The original maimer that we don't say Pesach Matzah Umarim Menachal Lefanecha. Okay? Now, that's the Pshat Kol Shel Yom Shloshet Dvarim Elu V'Pesach. And the kashas that the child asked primarily are, why do we have Bosar Tzli? Why do we have Matzah? And why do we have Morim? Because it's Zeh. Munochen Lefanecha. He has to be able to point to those strange objects and say why. And you have to be able to explain the objects that are lying on the table in front of you. That's the tachlis of the Haggadah. Higalito, Haggadah, Levincha, Bavur, Ayomahu, Lemur, Bavur, Zeh, Oso Hashem, Li, Zeh, and Higalito. That's the Haggadah. Okay? So we're up to the moment when the Torah says, V'higalato Levincha, V'yamu Lemur, the Haggadah is right now. The rest is the prelude to the answer, and this is the Haggadah. And Pesach Shoy, Avoseinu, Oichlim, Bizman Shebeis HaMikdash, Al Shum, Kayam Al Shumo, Al Shum Sheposach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Al Botei Avoseinu Mitzrayim. Shanema V'amartem Zevach Pesach Hu L'Hashem. Hashiposach HaBotem Nei Yisrael, Mitzrayim, B'Mitzrayim, B'Nokbis, Mitzrayim, B'Tzoteinu Hitzu, Hayikadon V'Yishtachfu. Rabbi Yisai, we could spend the rest of the day into the night to go through the deeper you say this pasuk. I'm going to just be very brief. Pesach reminds us of Hashgocha Pshotis. Hashgocha Klolis is when there's a big storm, or there's a big dever, or there's this, or there's that. Big global events are Hashgocha Klolis. But the picking out of one from another carefully, that's protis. And the Gemara says that the great tzaddikim in Tainus, those who were zorchet and hoger nisus, would go into the field and they would say, this peyre needs water. So the rain would come and rain down on that pair, and the others would be dry. Because by them, Hashgacha Pratis was a chelik of their life. They were so close to their banishlam. Posach al botev ne Yisrael b'Mitzrayim means there was Hashgacha Pratis. He was a guy killed. A Yid sitting by the table with him, saved in the house of the Yid for sure. Right? There was the dam. Yos Adon al Mashkoif al Shteyam Zinzes Ufosach Hashem al Pesach. Going by the Yid, he was also killed. Chazal dashed all that. But the main thing is to move from to skip. Rashi says that the word posach comes from posoyach behimlet. It's a lashon of Rachmonis also, not just skipping. But the skipping, Rabbi say, is the hashgach of Trotis. So that the two atoms right next to each other, and one goes like this and one goes like that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu differentiates between the two. That's Hashgacha Pratis. He skips one and moves to the other. Hafludik. Another thing you should know, as I had told you already earlier, that Vamartem is the answer given to the Rosha. Right? That's the V'hoyo ki yomer aleichem v'neichem moha avoydes hazois lochem. Right? That's the pasuk. You should also know, Vayikudon Vayishtachfu, which Rashi says, they bowed al Sakoros HaToiv for three things: al Besuris HaGeula, al Besuris HaOres, al Besuris HaBonim. The fact that they were told that they're going to have children. Of course they're going to have children. Which nation doesn't have children? It said al besuris habonim means the fact that they were told that if they have a problem with a child, they have a Torah kedusha to teach him. Hamor shavoy machzir lemutav. That's vayikudom vayishtachfu yehand. That's the pshat vayikudom. This is the besuris habonim. The besuris habonim is not that physically they're multiplied like every nation in the world. Till now they had shisha bekeres echad. It wasn't the Besura that they'll have children. Besura Sabonin means that they'll be able to be mechanech their children instead of losing them to the Gimel Yimei Choshech, Gimel Yimei Afeilon. Right? That's the Besura Sabonin. That's why it's Vayikudon Vayishtachfu. A Haflodik chapter, but again, if I were to go into the whole thing, it would be a big Arichas. That's the Korban Pesach. Sometimes I say a few words, if it's not that late, on the Pesach itself. Because the Korban Pesach is something that, you know, shows the level of where Klal Yisrael is holding by. When Yeshiyahu had a Pesach, so it says, Ki lo nase ka Pesach hazeh mimei ha-shoiftim ha-shoftu es Yisrael. What does that mean? Does it mean that from that time till now there was never a Korban Pesach? Ki lo nase ka Pesach hazeh mimei ha-shoiftim ha-shoftu es Yisrael. Right? Means that the level of Bitla Voidazora, the level of Pesach Hu Hashem, of closeness to the Rebbeinu Shlomo, which is achieved through the Korban Pesach, wasn't reached for many hundreds of years, as it was in the time of Yeshiyahu, who wiped out all the Voidazora in Eretz Yisrael. But let's be brief about that. Matzah Zushanu Ochlun Al Shema Al Shum Shlei Hisbik B'Tzeikum Shal V'Tzeinu L'Hachmetz At Shenigla Leim Melech Malchay Ablochem HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ge'olom Shenema V'Yoifu Es HaBotzik Asher Hetzim Mitzrayim Ugo Es Matzo Es Kiloi Chomet Ki Gorshu Mi Mitzrayim V'Lo Yochlu Lis Mameya V'Gam Tzeidu Lo Yosele. Rabbi Yisai, very briefly, first of all, let me remind you what I said earlier. The matzah is not because of the matzah that they ate while they were avodim in Mitzrayim. And like I explained to you, that the breaking of the matzah that is accomplished by yachatz, and that broken matzah is what's meant by lechem oini, and that's what we say holachma anyo diacholo avasona la'ar de Mitzrayim. That's the ikir, because that's what Chazal say. That's what the Gemara says about lechem oini. It also says lechem sha'oini nolo dvorim harvi, but it doesn't say that it was the impoverished bread that they ate when they were avodim, because that's how you feed avodim, by giving them matzah. It doesn't say like that in Chazal. So what could we do? We have to say what it says in Chazal. And that's why lacho lachma anyu is before the Haggadah. It has nothing to do with the Haggadah. The matzah is because it represents the chipozo in Yetzias Mitzrayim, the actual geula. It doesn't represent the avdus, it represents the geula. And that's why it's called mechlod dehemnusa, right? By the Zohar, which is the bread of emuna, because it represents Yetzias Mitzrayim, not Avdus Mitzrayim. Okay? Just remember that, because we say it beferish. And sometimes you'll ask anybody and they'll tell you, of course, matzah represents Acholu Avasonim Barad Mitzrayim, because they ate matzah while they were Avodim in Mitzrayim. Vayoifu es habotzei kasher toitziu in Mitzrayim ki lo yochlu esmameya dechipozei. And Rabbi said, I always point that out, that the chipozoin is something that's noir ve'oyem. Because the Torah says, ki b'chipozoin yotzosa b'mitzroyim. Right? Why is there such a stress on the chipozoin? You know why there's a stress on the chipozoin? Let me tell you something. I'll tell you the most powerful lesson in the entire Haggadah, bar none, from beginning to end. Everything that happens in the world, we explain in terms of, the world explains in terms of history. History is the study of cause and effect, social causes, economic causes, right? Political causes, militaristic causes. And those are the things that make events happen in the world. Yes or no? Wrong. There's nothing, there's no such thing as history. HaKadosh Baruch Hu arranges historical events so as to bring about the result that he wants. And that's the pshat in the maimer that I told you earlier. HaKadosh Baruch Hu chishev es hakeitz la'asos. He first creates the result and prepares the events that precede that result as if there were any cause and effect. One time HaKadosh Baruch Hu disconnected the cause from the effect, and there was no time, there was no evolution, there was no change, there was an abrupt event that happened without any evolvement. That was Yetzias Mitzrayim. Ki b'chipozo in yotzosa b'mitzrayim. Yetzias Mitzrayim was abrupt, instantaneous. How long did Yetzias Mitzrayim take? I like to say it took less than 18 minutes. Why? Because it says first they made the botzek, and how long do you have from when you make the botzek till when you have to bake the matzah? 18 or 22 and a half, according to that mandoma, right? And when do they bake it? After Yetzias Mitzrayim. Vayoif was a botzek, asher hoitziu mi Mitzrayim. So they finished baking the matzah after Yetzias Mitzrayim. What? No. When they were out. The Ram says Tzukoisa. Right? That's, you know, the Kanfei Neshorim, instantaneous. And in between there was Yetzias Mitzrayim. So, momentary experience. Keep a chipozo in your tzosim in Mitzrayim. You'll ask a kasha that others ask. In that case, what about the Mitzrayim of the Seder al Matzah Sabrurim Yachluhu? You know the answer to that? The answer is that the matzahs of the Korban Pesach by night were because HaKadosh Baruch Hu already prepared the Chippozen of Mitzrayim. We experienced the Chippozen the next morning, but the Chippozen was already prepared. So that's why we eat matzah v'yoyfu es habotzek asher v'tzir Mitzrayim ugas matzahs ki loy chomitz v'lo yochlo l'esmameya. You also have included in this marvelous pasuk, you have included the greatest of all the acts that Klal Yisrael ever did. Which was that act? V'gam tzeido lo yosu lehem. Zocharti lo chesed nirayach. Havas klu lo yosoyach. Lech tech achre b'midbor b'yeret lo zirua. That's v'gam tzeido lo yosu lehem. It's the mechlo de hanusa, taking nothing that they could survive on for more than a day. Shorei matumor. That's all. And they carried it b'sharoisam, tsuroisam, b'sibloisam, al shikmov. Nothing. Not enough for a good picnic. And they went into the midbar. Lech techachrei b'midbar b'eretz lo yizrua. V'gam teyo lo yosu lehem. They weren't yet holding on the order of the Midbar. The actual entry to the Midbar happened later, after Kriyas Yamsuf. Right? When they came to Midbar Poro and then Moro and all that business. Pikseya Midbar, yeah, that's when it is. Esau Mizul. What? That's the Kseya Midbar. But when they entered into the Midbar is when they were Bachemisha Osa Yoim Lachoyas Shasheni. That's when the mon fell. And so, that's what it says, Vayoifus HaPotzik. And what gives us this memory of the Chippozon. The Chippozon teaches us a similar lesson to the first one. Hashkocha Protis. But the Pesach is a demonstration of Hashkocha Protis. Because it's Posach al Boti B'nei Yisroel. The matzah is the bittul of what seems to be behind world events. It gives us the Yetzias Mitzrayim in the form of a detached event, chippozon, something not connected, and it happens instantaneously. And lo yochlo l'esmameya. That's what the matzah is telling us. Matzah means chippozon, Rabbi said. What happens when you don't have time to bake bread because it takes a long time to let it rise, and you have orchim that are starving? What do you do? You make matzahs. That's what Lloyd did for his orchim. Umatzah is offer by yachelu. That's the pashtus. Of course, we could say it's mitzvah. Pesach and this and that, those are all in Muslim and Chazal. But Matzah Sofa Vayechelu has a Pashtus also. Ein HaMikri Yoitz Mnei Pshutei. Because you can bake it on the spot. It needs no preparation. It needs no timing. You go to the Matzah Bakery, they flip it into the oven, and three quarters of a minute later it comes right out again. And it's already a Matzah. The Matzah represents Chippozon. Because Chippozon is the Hashgacha, the ultimate Hashgacha. And the third,
the second half of that night, the
perhaps they went to sleep to gather koiches for the morning so that they should be able to go out of Mitzrayim. They didn't realize that it would happen in a moment in the morning. And the more is there, Rabbi Sai, to give us appreciation for what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us. Because unless we understand what it was before HaKadosh Baruch Hu's matona to us, before his chasodim, then we have no appreciation for what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us. It's very nice, right? I'll take you on a picnic and you'll have some nice food and some nice experiences, and then you'll come back, thank you, it's a wonderful thing, thank you. But you could have been almost just as well off without the picnic. Some good things that happen to a person are not necessary things. But if, you see, if Mitzrayim meant the change from Vayamoru Yishayeha to Uvnei Yisrael Yoytzeh B'Yodromo, that's something that's a change. And we have to remember, Ilu Loi Hoytzeh HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I always remember the wonderful, marvelous word that Rabbi Fein, Zechel Brocha, said. Avraham Avinu said, V'anochi ofer v'efer. Avraham Avinu was a lifetime of chesed and mesiras nefesh and godless and tzidkus and every midah and every toiv and every greatness in the world that you could think of. Olam ha'gol v'anokim. Echad hoy Avraham. But Avraham Avinu was driven by that hakoras ha'toiv. He said, V'anochi ofer v'efer. Right? El Moli HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisi Ofer Al Yedei HaMalachim El Moli HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisi Efer Al Yedei Kishin HaEish. And when a person sees himself as being nothing if not for Tovish Al HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he sees in front of him the alternative to Ofer V'Efer, then his HaKadosh HaTov knows no limits. And that's what the Moir is there for. We always have to have in front of us the alternative to Yetzias Mitzrayim, so that we can appreciate what Yetzias Mitzrayim was. The alternative is bitter. That's so important. Understand? Now we know that's the answer to the child, but there's still a little drop more to the answer. And part of the answer is, why do we have the Shtei Hatbolos? And why do we have the Hesebel? I tell you the truth, someone suggested that answer, and it's absolutely correct. B'chol dor v'dor, chayav odom liras esatzmoy ki'ilu hu yotza mi'mitzrayim. It's interesting, this is the gears of the Mishnah. The Rambam, he adds a couple of words, and the Rambam does it ksaida for biur in the halacha. And the Rambam says, "Bechol dor v'dor chayev odom laharoy says atzmoy ki ilu ato yotza mishibud Mitzrayim." Those few words he adds, which means to say that he has to act openly in a manner which shows his appreciation for Yetzias Mitzrayim, to show the excitement of the actual moment of Yetzias Mitzrayim. At this point in the Seder, the Brisky Rav would jump up from the table and grab hold of his children and dance around the table a few times and make a rekida. It wasn't the daily thing that the Brisky Rav made a rekida. But ki'ilu l'charoi says atzmoi is to show, not just to feel it inside, lirois, but l'charoi. Ki'ilu ata yotza. And this is the answer to the questions of the Hesebo and the Hatvolos, that those are maisim that are laharis esatzman. So we have to stretch out and spread out like the ancient nobility, right? I showed you some time back how to correctly make Hesebo, because you know where I saw that? I saw that once the Aguda convention was in a hotel that had tapestries all over the hotel, and they had scenes from ancient Roman sculptures and friezes, engravings in stone, and you had Kseida, the bed, which is the mitzvah that you sat on, Ben Seba, a flat rectangular bed, but it had, but the head part was angled upward slightly, and there were people sitting at these tables and drinking and eating, and they sat in the way, which is really Chayyur's take. You spread out, put one foot ahead of you and one, and you go like this. Understand? There's nothing that won't spill on you. The koyis could be full to the top. You have total control. That's the Sefer, that's how they sat. And I saw it in all these pictures. I chapt that that's the Hesebah of Cheirus. Right? We used to try to make a Hesebah. Of course, everybody knows when you have Yeshiva Boch and you're figuring out how to do it. It's like some kind of contortionist effort to do the most queer twisting of the Eivorim where there's no feet and no hand, no nothing. And imagine that half the wine spills out onto your shirt and the other half on your suit. Because there's no cheirus involved in such a seva, but this is a seva that it's so relaxing and so regal, right? You lean on your left side and you have the elbow planted on the table, and when you have, by the way, an angled head part to the mito, so you could put your head on the your hand on the angle, on the head part, which is upward. You don't even need a table. A table. Well, this is it. Depends. If you have those kind of mitzvahs, then you don't need a shulchan because the mitzvah was constructed for it. But Yidden probably never had those kind of mitzvahs. No, it took a table, a chair, and padded it with a pillow or with something, this and that, in order to simulate some caleb which they made a table with. But they had the mitzvahs, the grand regal mitzvahs of Zohar or Chesed. Well, that's the Chayav Laharis. That's why this comes. Right? And then we come to the punchline of the Haggadah, which is that at this moment we have to come to express the HaKoros HaToyv. That's what we were leading up to with Dayenu, with everything. Lo yesaviseinu bulvad gol HaKadosh Baruch Hu, lo af oisonu gol imohem. Shenema v'oisonu hoitzi bisham. The man hovi oisonu los esvonu esaoret. Asher nishpa la aviseinu. And therefore, now comes l'fichach anachnu chayovim lohoidus. Okay, and maybe we should stop over here.